Right on radio.
Welcome back to Right on Radio. My name is Jeff. The tagline of the show is live right in the real world, because I will show you the real world, both visible and invisible, and you decide how you want to live in it. I'm super stoked about today's show. Hopefully you saw the preview that I put up prior to this earlier this evening. If not, go back and watch it afterwards. It's certainly worth your while. I have Woo's News in the house today, and we're going to be talking about J6 and all kinds of other stuff. I don't know where this conversation is going to go, because I had a great conversation with Rafa yesterday, and just honestly, a really interesting guy with good heart, good intent. And I think you're really going to like him. What I want to do just before I bring him on, in case you did not see the show earlier, I'm going to play the intro to his most current project that has been put out there. And it is Act 2. And just watch this short little clip before I bring him on, because I think you're going to be able to get a sense and appreciation that he has done the best work on this particular topic, bar none. And without further ado, here is the very beginning.
Watch this on a big screen and go get your wine.
The January 6th event serves as a cautionary tale about the perils of manufactured outrage and takes an unexpected twist as a web of conspiracy emerges. In Act 1, we applied the Homeland Security and Evaluation Program, illustrating the pivotal roles of stage directions, crisis actors, and fake blood, and challenges our audience to question the boundaries between truth and fiction.
Hey, Mo, acting, they acting.
Here in Act 2, our 2.5-year investigation unravels a chilling truth. The January 6th Capitol breach was no spontaneous event, but a meticulously orchestrated symphony of chaos and manipulation.
And yes, it's likely you may be triggered by some of the information we are to share with you, but come on, put on your big boy slash girl slash non-binary pants on and see it through. In this episode, we're going to journey through the January 6th timeline of events in 889 angles and identify all props, characters, mistakes, and bad acting with additional commentary from all sides. So let's begin our journey by setting...
I just want to say, as I'm bringing him on, before he can't comment yet, if I actually had a budget, I'd hire this guy in a second. He is so good. He's comedic. His video editing is off the charts. His scripts are great. And just welcome to Right On Radio, Rafa.
Hey, what's up, Jeff? It's a really great intro you have there.
Thank you. You know what? It was inspired by ID. I did that little intro for him when he came on the show the first time.
Love that guy.
But it sticks, because it is a life of illusion right now. And you really, as a crime investigator. By the way, did you ever think you'd be a crime scene investigator?
You know, when I was 18 years old, I didn't, but when I was 18 years old, I was already breaking down the Kurt Cobain case. And so if that tells you anything, I've always had a knack for crime scenes.
Okay.
Or investigations
in general.
What was
your conclusion with Kurt Cobain?
Ooh, a lot of things, but I believe he was murdered. Yes. I believe he wanted out of Nirvana, and I believe he was murdered. I think they saw him pulling away, especially when he pulled out of Lollapalooza. And there's just so many elements to go into Kurt, but I believe he was murdered.
Well, you know, it's really funny. So I agree with you, except I would add a different, I'd add a word to it, a ritual murder.
I thought about that as well. I thought maybe it could be a ritual. When I was that young, I wasn't aware of any of this Temple of Set or Dilemma or Freemasonry or anything like that. So,
yeah. Well, when you look at Dave Grohl's movie that just came out, and then his drummer dies right after it, and literally his movie is about, you know, sacrificing a member of the band, right? Like it's,
I didn't. What kind of movie was it that Dave Grohl had?
What was it? Hotel 666 or something like that.
And it's really?
About the band recording this in this haunted mansion, and Dave Grohl becomes possessed, and you know, it's all like it basically is a foreshadow. It was incredible.
Wow. One time, I was telling you about April 16th when we were speaking yesterday, and in that same conversation, I asked to speak with Kurt Cobain, and I asked him how he died. And I'm not going to say it on the chat, but if you want to hear something very bizarre, I don't necessarily believe it's the truth, but it's definitely entertaining, for sure.
Man, Rafa, you are entertaining. Where did you get your comedic chops, first of all? Because you, like, honestly, your script is funny, and you put in the laugh tracks. You know what to do with the music. How did you come into this?
I mean, I moved here as an editor, as an actor and director 17 years ago. And one of the first things I had to learn was to edit like an acting reel together. And that's where I started editing so long ago, was my acting reel. And it just, over time, like I knew I wanted this show to be a comedy, you know, kill them
entertaining.
With comedy, otherwise they'll kill you. Yeah, it's like infotainment. Because, you know, if you got to keep them in the seat. It's kind of like we're turning the laughs back on them. We're laughing at them this time rather than laughing at us. And, you know, yeah, I'm going to have a great bit of history with editing. And Act One didn't have the comedic, I mean, it had some comedic bites in there, but because of the subject matter, I was like, we'll tone it down. I didn't include the studio audience in there, but I did for this one, for sure. It's so, following the format of how the show was before I decided to do a deep dive on January 6th, which you can see my brand new shirt that I made. It's like an homage to the 9/11 was an inside job shirt.
Amen. Yeah. So for those of you listening, his shirt is J6 was an inside job.
Well, it's actually the one. Well, let's get it right. It's a one. And at the top of it is the foundation, the top part of the rotunda of the Capitol.
Ah, okay.
With a slash. Okay. With the slash.
There we go.
And then a six. Yeah. There it is. You can see the detail.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Although the top end of the rotunda looks more like the obelisk.
Yeah, I mean, when you get a little closer, you can see it. But yes, it does look a little bit like, it also looks like the Washington Memorial as well.
Yeah, that's the obelisk. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. I assume that's what you meant, all lined up on the owl. What is that, Minerva? There's so much I've learned over the last, you know, 15 years with all this that I feel like I only retain the important stuff, you know.
You know what? I really believe that we run out of RAM You know what I mean? Like, you can only retain so much stuff. And then, and that's why I wanted to play Act One first, because, you know, so much of that was not, is not retained, because the news cycle, man, it's hard to remember something from the morning till the night. You know, the news cycle is going so fast.
Yeah. If it's important to me, or if it's important to Yeshua or brother or father, I'll most likely remember it. But the, you know, like, I was gifted a book of Freemasonry yesterday, because there's, I find that there can be great, a great wealth of information, not just for the self, but also knowing what our enemy is up to. And I'm skimming through it, and I'm like, do I have time for this? You know, I'm trying to read this other book about Yeshua and the mystics that during his time at Qumran and with the Essenes. And I'm like, Freemasonry or Jesus? I'm gonna go with Yeshua. I don't plan on opening up any portals tonight, other than this one.
I've had to read some of this stuff too, and you know, it's for research. I do pray before I read it, and I say, Lord, protect me from anything, you know. If this book contains any spells or any kind of crap like that, because I know that magic is real. I know magic exists. Right. I don't necessarily want to know the details of how they do everything, right? You know.
Sure. I mean, I'm with you. I kind of do, but I believe it's your intention. If you open that book of Freemasonry because you're hell bent on taking over the world, ellipses. If you're curious to know what this is all about and why some of our supreme leaders are caught up in this, let's take a look-see. Where is this information coming from? Because, you know, some of it's Egyptian, some of it's Greco. It comes from a lot of different places. So I would imagine that not all of it is evil. I would believe some of it is actually positive and some of it is neutral. It's your intention, and it's where you take that information. The same thing with using a weapon or a gun. You know, it just goes back to your intention.
Yeah, your intention, your will, very important spiritually speaking. Yeah. But you know what? So just for the audience to know, we had a great discussion about this stuff yesterday, and I hope that he's still willing, but I'd love for Rafa to come back and we'll talk all this stuff. Because we have opposing point of views on things. I think we agree on some stuff as well.
Sure.
But I think it would be a really fascinating conversation, because it's rare when you get someone who, you know, when we have similar but different views, you know, people want to push their point on each other. But I didn't feel that with you at all yesterday. And I hope you didn't me either.
No, I didn't at all. I feel like we're souls and where we're having that conversation, where we're meeting, is we're presenting the information. We're doing our best, you know, and it's not like I'm the right one and you're the wrong one. That's not what our conversations are about. We're sharing different ideas and sharing different perspectives. And I think that's kind of the whole point of all of this. Yeah. You know, I'm always happy to listen to someone's views or perspective or religion or doctrine, you know. I'll even listen to a Satanist. Sure. I'm curious to know what that's all about too.
No, unfortunately I spent a couple of years listening to them. So.
Oh, really? Oh, would you have the news on?
Yeah, exactly. So what was the fascination with J6? What really dragged you in? Was there a moment?
Yes, there was. There was definitely a moment. About a week, I can tell you exactly, well, I can kind of tell you what day it was. If you remember in December 2020, super late December, I believe, could have been the 1st of January. Somebody can find the date, I'm sure. It was the date that Lynn Wood came out and said he believed Jeffrey Epstein was still alive. Now, I already believed that anyway, but luckily this was able to anchor this memory. Because I was seeing my family in the Keys, and the day before, whenever I'm on holiday, you know, I'll be like, well, there's nothing to do, so I'll just scroll through all the conspiracy threads and see if there's anything that, you know, that gets my blood, that gets me shaking a little bit. Because I would probably say I was an addict a couple years ago, where I would end every night with a joint and scrolling through the different conspiracy threads, trying to find something to get my blood to just pump even more. I think there was a part of me that wanted the apocalypse to happen so that I wouldn't have to. So if the world is over, I won't have to do all this work I know I need to do. You know what I mean? It's like the easy way out, the safe way out.
Yeah.
I no longer look at any of that stuff anymore. I had to get out of it because it was making me so depressed. The energy was just sucking me right down. But once a year during Christmas time is okay. I also like to be prepared. I love to learn, and sometimes on those threads it's not just doomsday, you know, rhetoric. And like I said, I've been doing investigations and I pick up on certain things and I'm really good at it. So I was noticing a trend on Twitter with certain people, and I won't say who, but they're all, you know, famous kind of folk, getting these good men and women to come out to the Capitol, excuse me, to the Ellipse, for January 6th to Washington. And I just was seeing so much of a pattern that my family thinks I'm crazy. And I lost a lot of clout when it came to Nibiru a long time ago. This was, I think, 2012 or 2013 or something. And man, I lost it all on that day. I was like, this giant dwarf star is coming to kill us all. At the risk of sounding even crazier, I was told all my family, I said, something's going to go down in Washington on Wednesday, January the 6th. And okay, Rafon. Well, I actually leave the keys on the 6th. So by the time I touch down at my connecting flight, my phone is blowing up and family's calling me. And they're like, you're right. How'd you know? Tell us more. I'm like, well, what exactly is going on? I mean, I know what I saw in my mind. I'll tell you exactly what I saw. It was like a vision. I saw BLM at the Capitol at January 6th. But it, instead of ebony folks, it was ivory folks with a twang and maybe some missing teeth. Because, you know, they put all those types of archetypes at the front now. That's for sure. they put the Hicks at the front. So when I came into the airport was when the whole Ashley Babbitt thing was going on. I mean, at that time it wasn't a 30-something-year-old woman. It was a 14-year-old. They keep changing the story as I was walking through the airport. It was like 14 to 16 years old. She wasn't ivory at the time. She was ebony. At one point her name was Roberta Paulson. I remember the story was changing quite rapidly, but I knew that something like this was going to happen because I would see this exact same thing at the BLM protests. You can go to, there's dozens of them. I almost did an entire video on, pick any BLM protest, and there would be somebody who would be shot. And then one of our very famous, they always happen to be a famous, you know, investigative reporter there on the scene, standing right behind them. I'm telling you, this happened 15 times. It whipped the camera around and somebody would just be shot. And either there would be some blood or there would be no blood. But what would always accompany it is really terrible acting. And I have a degree in acting, and so I can smell bad acting from a mile away. So that was what really let. So when I actually came home, you know, I'm only seeing what they're saying on the news. A woman is shot. I'm like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, I'll see it when I get home. And I was shocked. I was actually shocked by the time I got home and started looking at the message boards, you know, all the alternative news channels, that everyone was going. I still hadn't watched the footage just yet, but everyone's going along with this narrative. And that day it was Antifa. The first week was Antifa infiltrated the protest. The Fed part hadn't come out yet, though some people were like, why are these police? They were confused, and that's how this works in the beginning. You have to compound that trauma, if you will. Kind of like with 9/11. We got a plane over here, a plane over there. You know, this is falling down. This is just a small little hole. So when I started to see this trend of alternative news folks start to chime in and say the same thing, which I was starting to see that, but didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to believe it. I'm like, no, these are good guys. Risking their lives to tell us the real truth, right? No. So then I started looking at the footage. And I was having this, I forget what the technique is called. You'd think I would know this being a director. The technique is where the camera is moving forward on a dolly, but it's also zooming in or zooming out.
Right.
And it's kind of this sequence where a character has a bit of realization. Something has happened in that character's life and something has turned off. Or excuse me, there's been a revelation, something's been turned off. And that was the moment that I was having where I couldn't believe what I was seeing. The very first thing I thought of was the Boston bombing. It reminded me exactly like the Boston bombing. There's so many elements to it. So then I just spent the rest of the night collecting as much footage as I possibly could, watching different angles. And oftentimes I'll just play it and replay it, focus on one character. And then I'll play the whole damn thing again and watch it without audio. And then sometimes I'll play it again and just watch it looking away from the screen. I watch it and play it so many different times. So yeah, that's what got me sucked into this. Also, I felt that, you know, I've been doing these investigations for a long time, but just for myself or for my friends, when your fans get to watch the opening, it's not really the opening sequence, but it opens up with all the instructions that I want the character to know. The four instructions that we go through before we really do a deep dive into January 6th. And you see that sequence where it's, I believe it's the narrative, the mainstream narrative. And you see those pictures on the wall with the tack and the string connecting to the other person. And suddenly you have this whole giant wall. I've had that in my life. And it's really fun when you bring a date over. And they're like, wow, I feel like I'm in a movie. And then they think it's so cool. And so like, so do you really think this Batman shooter killed all those people in the theater? And then I'm like, oh yeah, no. And then it's like, oh man, I gotta go. it's like the guy's so enthralled by my giant conspiracy wall, but then he asks you, you know, was the Aurora, Colorado shooting real? No. I mean, real. Yeah. Don't ask me if it's real or not, because was it real to some people? Yes. Was it real to most people? Yes. Does that make it real? I believe it does. Just like Santa Claus. It's your belief in something that makes it real. Does that make sense?
Well, actually, I want to pick up right on that, because
what I'm
hearing from you, even before you saw the very first footage and stuff like that, and even with your suspicion going into J6, you had the ability to recognize these patterns. And
yes.
The best name for it is mass formation. And it's how they create this mass formation of opinion. And even if your eyes see something different, it's such a powerful psychological tool that they use on people. You can see something, and the news does this every day. You see something with your own eyes, and they tell you, you know, life is great, and that didn't happen. You know, it's like right now they're doing this thing with Bidenomics. You know, they're saying, oh, the best economy ever. But, you know, everyone can see with their own eyes. But some people are fooled by that. And if enough people repeat it, people believe it. And it actually goes past what they saw. And that is essentially what the operations are here, is they're creating this mass formation belief. And they're doing it for a purpose because, of course, it's order out of chaos. You create the problem, you introduce the solution, right?
Yes, the Hegelian dialectic. I mean, I always think it's like it's a form of MK Ultra.
It is.
It's like, look at this giant hole in the Pentagon. There's the bursting with flames. And I'm like, that thing like this big. You know, look at the tower. It's just pancake. Yeah, and right? It's just like, it's like, we're going to show you our Pentagon footage, and can you see the plane going by there? And you're like, I didn't see nothing. Could you replay that? I didn't see nothing. Could we go
back?
But
they keep saying, did you see the plane, right?
I remember when Glenn Beck did that as well. I thought I just happened to see that in my head just now. Sometimes I'll say what I'm seeing in my head. And I remember I think it was Dave Von Kleist was on the Glenn Beck show, and he was harassing Dave Von Kleist about that footage. He's like, how can you not see the plane there? And I'm watching this. I'm like, oh my gosh, everyone's in on it. Everyone's in on it.
Yeah, and I certainly
believe
he's
playing along. Well, I'm not, you're not. Oh, for sure. Father had me go to a different county to watch a movie called Nefarious, and I won't talk about what the movie is, and I won't say who's in it, but well, I guess we just Glenn Beck has a small part in it, but it's just the way that it happens, and from some of the stuff I know about Glenn Beck, I was on the edge of my seat the entire time, and Father has recommended that I watch some movies during this time. Not so much lately. We haven't watched anything really lately. That's not true. We watched Lawnmower Man a couple weeks ago. But in the beginning, it was just movies all the time. Nefarious is the name of this movie. And it's for people who are into, religion, because it's mostly about religion or angels and demons. It's set from... The setting is kind of like a prison cell, death row, kind of set up there. I was on the edge of my seat the entire movie. I could not stop clenching my ass. Seriously. Seriously, the entire movie. But he wanted me to see this for some reason, and there he is.
And what was your takeaway from it?
Well, he had been, I don't want to use the word convinced, but yeah, it was like he was trying to convince me that this stuff is real. Angels and demons are real. I still don't quite understand how possession works, even though I have allowed father and brother to come into my heart, and so I wouldn't say that they possess me, but they can influence me as far as moving, you know, they can move my head and they can move certain body parts or have me focus on certain things. So obviously when I watched this movie in the beginning, because they're talking about all the stuff that Father's talking about, you know, I'm immediately thinking that this whole month has been, because I saw it in May, I believe, I'm like thinking this whole month it was a demon. And because everything they were telling me was happening, and I'm like, how could it be that this just started in April? Now they somehow were able to communicate, because back then they weren't typing on the keyboard. This was just through pendulum, and eventually became through the movement. I don't believe the movement happened then. I can't, can't remember. I don't think the movement started when we saw Nefarious. No. It was still with the Pendulum. Because there, yeah, I had my notes. I had notes to take, and yeah, I recommend it. I mean, it's a thriller, but it's a movie you would never think would be a thriller with two people in the movie. It's a conversation, but the writing, like, I'm getting chills right now, just thinking about this movie.
Well, anyway. It's interesting when you talk about possession and stuff like that, and you have an acting background.
Yeah.
And actors, many of them will say, and many performers, and, you know, I have a musical background, for instance, and there's something called channeling that happens.
Yes.
Right? Like if you're playing a role of a historic figure, some people will really search out and try to channel that person.
Yes.
And, you know, channeling and full possession might be different, but it's kind of the same thing where something, an entity, is being invited into you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So, and when you look at things, Rafa, because, first of all, you know, if there's angels and demons, like in the Nefarious movie, as you pointed out, you know, I haven't seen the movie, but I'm assuming they portrayed the angels as the good guys and the demons as the bad guys, right?
So, for lack of better words, sure.
Yeah, I haven't seen the movie, but, you know, that would be kind of a general consensus.
Yes.
So, if demons are evil, could they, I'm just going to ask the question, but do you think they could lie and say that they're good angels sometimes?
Yes. It's so funny. Everybody asked me this question. I knew you were going to ask me this question. So
I didn't know I was going to ask it. So that's amazing.
Okay. Yeah. Do I believe that they could pose as angelic and kind and happy? I do. Yeah. But if you, I mean, next time we come on here, I can take you to, if you, are you asking me in my personal life? Or are you asking in general?
No, just like in general. Going just on? In general. Yeah.
I didn't know any of this stuff was possible before April. I wasn't a religious person. I had been to the other side before with, you know, in the spirit realm with plant medicine like ayahuasca and iboga and psilocybin, and, you know, I've been going down that spiritual babbit hole for a couple of years now, quite a few years. I think that's kind of like but I don't like to think that because you're being opened up that it's automatically going to be filled with something negative. And hey, if it is something negative, maybe your soul needed that to happen for you to grow, to become a better person. Kind of like how they say people who go beyond and battle cancer are completely fearless people. So sometimes bad things happen to us for the good, for the greater good.
You know, I completely agree with that, Rafa. I've been through some real tough stuff in my life, and you know, I've come out of it and I thought, you know what, that was actually good for me.
Yeah.
You know, so you learn best in your toughest
situation. I know, that's exactly. That's what Father says. He's like, that's how we learn the most.
Well, listen, to the audience, stay tuned, because I want to do a dedicated conversation with Rafa on this. I think it's just my observation from our conversation yesterday, and you got probably a little bit of it today. You know, just like us, just like me, I'm searching for answers and I'm looking for greater truths. And, you know, I've looked in many, many different areas, and you guys have followed the broadcast, many of you, for a couple or a few years now. And you've seen some of the journey that I've been on. And I see kind of that same quest as Rafa, but he's, you know, similar to maybe me a number of years ago, because you're quite a bit younger than me. I think.
Maybe by like 2 years, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. Hey, let's get back into J6 because I want to highlight some of your work.
Oh, I thought we were taking a break. Okay, sorry.
No, don't be sorry, man. This is free flowing, man. We don't script this stuff. And
I thought you were saying we were taking a break.
And I'm fascinated by you personally, but your work is so good. I really want to highlight it. I want to get people over to watch this entire act too. But I'm going to play this scene from 24 minutes. You sent me a couple timestamps.
I did.
Do you want to
set
up the scene or do you want to talk about it afterwards?
I believe this is where we are going to be introduced to Landon Kenneth Copeland, which is interesting because Landon Kenneth Copeland is Bull. He's one of my favorite characters, actually. And I've noticed this trend with a lot of my actors that they are making the rounds on kind of shows like just like this. They are, I don't want to say they're posing as J6 prisoners because I believe it's based on their contract if they will go to prison. And when I say prison, I'm not thinking like Orange is the New Black. I'm thinking more comforting, much more comforting. I do believe that some are not going to be even get a visit from the FBI or police. Some will never get a mention about any of this stuff. A lot of them won't. Some of them know that the police are going to come. That's just part of their contract. So I'm seeing a trend of some of these paid protesters that are crying out. And these are the people, unfortunately, these are the people that we see in the news. It's like these poor J6 prisoners, like these are not the people, these are not the true people you should be focused on when it comes to the poor J6ers. The people, I don't necessarily agree with Trump, but all the people who came there to support him, I don't agree with any president, by the way. I'm not a red or a blue. I'm just me. All those people that came out there to see him, a lot of these people are in jail. You'll never hear about them. One of those people we'll talk about, you'll see in Act 2, his name's Alan Hostetter. And these are the innocent bystanders that just happen to be there. And these are the people that are not making the rounds on shows like this. And I'm trying to figure out a word for it, where they take these paid protesters that the show is still going on. 3 years later, the show still, your contract's not over. You are sworn to secrecy. You must stay in character for the rest of your life. So this is happening while you have these innocent men and women that are going to jail as well. Not sure what's happening with these people, but I guarantee you, these people, these innocent people are going to jail. And from what I am seeing, the sentences are harsher. Okay? This is for real. This is why I become more dedicated. When I first started this, was not necessarily for these people because they hadn't been to jail yet. But now my impetus, my motivation has shifted over the years. Anyway, what we're about to see is Landon Kenneth Copeland. He's our wonderful stunt guy, Army veteran, 33 years old. Like I said, he's also making the rounds right now as a G6 political prisoner, but really he's just a paid protester vying for your sympathy. It's deceit. I'm so over the deceit. Like, I still have compassion for people like Bull. Like, I think, like I said, Bull's one of my favorite characters. But the deceit man is at a 10. And y'all need to wake up to some of this, to some of the stuff that's going on, because you'll get swept right into it thinking that some of these people who are vying for your sympathy and your attention and your heartstrings, you're pulled into it. It's an energetic field. It's a collective consciousness. So please remove yourself from that if you want to. Please expand your awareness. Well, and let me
roll the clip. And how long should I roll the clip for?
I can say a word.
Raise your hand and
I'll raise my hand. Okay, great. Perfect.
Guy right here is
Corn.
And he's the star of the scene that's about to take place. Notice this guy in the background. He runs, and then he slows down as cop two goes to give him a gentle hug. Just brings him back into the scene. Where's Major going? I'm going to tell you what they're doing in just a second. Listen to what this old guy says. Did you hear what he said? Go ahead and push me down. Play into me. What do you think, folks? They're getting ready to spray. Are they summoning the powers of Miss Cleo? Everyone's psychic. Notice the cooler. Notice the lumber in the background. Notice his bag of trash. Or bag of props. Got Unabomber trading beauty secrets. We'll call this guy here Dr. T. Here we're about to unveil one of our smoking guns. Notice the pile of lumber sitting here. It will be used later. Now watch this. Insert bull.
We got more people coming up. Let's get him down here in the black.
Or what's left of it. And Bull is our stunt guy, who turns out to be 33-year-old Iraq war veteran Landon Kenneth Copeland. And he probably charges a lot because we only have him for 20 minutes. And that's our cop Major, who just brought him in. Now, as our cops are bringing Bull in, we're going to have a little Turkish delight, a little mini scene to warm up the kid.
So I
Dude, I love your style.
Oh, thank you so much. Trump is still speaking. This is our first wave of paid protesters because they're already there while Trump is still going on. They're also on the east side as well. So this is a lot of the footage that most people in the world have not seen, even though I pulled all my clips from YouTube or Twitter or Facebook, you name it. The footage wasn't handed to me by anyone. I work alone. I worked alone. I don't want to proclaim anything to the universe. I'm happy to take your help. I have to be very careful about what I say. So it's still early in the day and the shenanigans are going. That's when we meet Bull. And we're not going to see today because I didn't add that in the timestamps, but we're going to see some of his really wonderful skills.
He must charge a lot because you only have him for 20 minutes. You know?
Yeah, he's not there for very long. No, he comes in and then he's gone.
And again, this is while Trump is still speaking. So Trump people have not moved down the road yet.
No, not at all. They're going to come a lot later. So they've already breached obstacle one and obstacle two. So they're just coming in like when the guy
there was six obstacles, right? And they're made for
well,
TV.
There's more in Act Three.
Okay, but these are made for TV obstacles, and you brilliantly put together the film to show. Okay, they're setting up, right? And then camera roll, like
it's so in your face. Like, I'll toot my own horn. That's fine, but this was not difficult at all to break down. This is not like some of my other cases that I'm still years later still trying to get to the bottom of. We can talk about that later if you want to.
Absolutely, but yeah, I think if there was a difficulty, it was just the amount of time and footage that you had to squeeze.
Yes, and like it'll be just something sometimes irrelevant, but like who is this photographer? You know, like. I would spend a whole week trying to learn a photographer's name. Still didn't figure out that one. There's only one photographer I couldn't figure out. I can tell you who he is. He's at obstacle one. He's right before Enrique, the cop comes down. Before we pan over to Enrique, it's that photographer. I gave him a nickname. He always had a nickname, Lupe. But I took it out. He was a bigger character in Act Two, but I took a lot of his stuff out.
It's amazing how all the right people are all set up and they've got their shots set up. I think this one was easier for you, you know, minus the mass amount of work that you had to put into it. But it was easier because when they do something on a grander scale like this, it's going to get sloppy. The more people you have involved, the sloppier it's going to get.
Yes.
But the key scenes, like the Babbitt scene, man, that was sloppy.
It was very sloppy. I mean, we'll see more examples of. They get sloppier as the day progresses. As the day progresses, they get sloppier. And, you know, the Babbitt sequence ends all of the photo shoots inside of the Capitol, with the exception of the photo shoot inside the House with Win McNamee and Jacob Chansley and Korn, who we just saw, and Luke Mogelson and some other people that I could name, but you guys probably wouldn't know who they are.
Just the amount of time finding out who these people are, man. You've got really, a gift that I don't have.
Do you know what really started to make this presentation come alive was learning where the footage comes from. Who took this photo, and where has this photographer been throughout history? Who took this video, and where? I want to see everything that they ever shot. And when I deep dove into that, when I started breaking down all the photographers, small and big, small and large, the ones that have been doing it their whole lives and the ones that just started 6 months ago. It's funny because my lead character started just 6 months ago. A lot of people started just 6 months ago, like Jacob Chansley. But you start to break down the things, the different events that they've covered, and it's just like, that was you? That was you? You were there for that? That was 20 years ago. That was 30 years ago. You were there? Happened to be on the scene?
Well, listen, if someone's reliable, you want to use them again, right? It's like when we see these crisis actors and all these different false flag operations. You see the same crisis actors over and over.
Yes. Yes. I didn't see too many repeats with this one. But then again, a lot of people were wearing masks, so.
Right.
Like I said, because we go to Egypt 2012 in the intermission of Act Two. And it just, these people are everywhere. I get it. I understand why they do it, you know.
Well, I don't. I just couldn't go against my fellow brothers and sisters in this world, you know.
Yeah, but think about some of the things that they're facing, whether it's a jail time, whether it's sentencing or money. Let's say who even knows some of the extent? Maybe someone needs a new kidney or they're facing eviction, kind of like I am, you know, like, not that I would ever, I couldn't live with myself at this point. I'd be the world's biggest hypocrite. What are you doing? I would not do it.
Okay. So set up this scene for me here. We have at 57 minutes.
I mean, I know what's happening in this scene, but I know where we're about to see is Jonesy, but.
Well, let's watch it and come back after.
I don't know why I included this, because we're about to go see Angel Walsh. Yeah, why don't you press play and
this is so I'll cool. watch Are for you your sure? signal.
You did I write 57 or go ahead and push? Yeah, I have it right here. 50...
Oh, what was that?
So sorry, I just wanted to because this is Alex Jones.
Yes, but
on bullhorn in front of the crowd. I just wanted to say that for the audio people.
We've taken this over.
Yeah, let's watch how many times he pledges his allegiance while he delivers these lines.
Trump's over here. Trump's coming. Trump is coming.
Yeah, like he's Santa Claus.
Fire's coming on the other side. That's where Trump's going.
Yeah, just ginning up the crowd with empty promises. Per usual. Question: how many bodyguards does it take to lift a beach well from a stage made of folded chairs? Now let's check in one last time with Angel Walsh over at the Southwest Channel entrance.
I had to run away because there was a big loud boom, and then there.
Can I say something?
You please.
I'm looking at 57:49 on my end, and it's not Jonesy, and I'm wondering if you're playing the director's cut.
I probably am not.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. 57:49, I'm looking at it right now. It's exactly what I want it to be, but Is yours a 57.49? Yeah.
It was. So
okay. Let's let us find out. Well, now my computer's frozen. Welcome to my world of, I don't know what to tell you. My computer's frozen. What I'm seeing here is it's further
ahead.
Where it's obstacle three is a, it's obstacle three.
All right.
I think we might, you might have to go back. No, go forward a little bit. Sorry about that.
All right.
Maybe I can try to shut this down. Well, that's another scene I want to play. That's so strange.
Is, well, why don't how we long just pick it up from here, and we'll, maybe this is what we're supposed to see.
Nah. Okay, hold on. Stay right there. Why does it do that? $57.49. That's so weird.
Yeah, that's what I had it lined up at.
I'm looking at it right here, and that's exactly what I want to play, but it was Jonesy on your end. Yeah, you could. Wait, just play. I know that this is one of them. Just play it. Yeah, this is great. This is
to be a controller, not just an actor.
We're not trying to get people hurt.
That's what we've been saying all along. Back on the east side, things are cooking up here. Still behind obstacle one.
But not for long.
Meanwhile, at the northwest scaffolding, welcome to obstacle three. That's right, in about 30 seconds, our crisis actors are going to breach it and climb to the top, where they'll meet obstacle five. But first, midway, they must defeat obstacle four.
Let's get ready to kayfabe!
Yeah, look alive, everyone!
And background.
And there they go, and they just flutter up. Hey, there's Happy. Look at this guy in the corner, like he's eating a box of bath salts. Yeah. It's a Bible and bath salt kind of party. Now watch this guy. Yep, holding the Bible up for the cameras. And there's Hawaii Proud Boys leader, Nick Oakes, who we'll come back to later. And now Jacob Chansley has come down from his treehouse. And oh, incoming. Yep, posing with the rosary. Meanwhile, a cop gives instructions to U.S. Marine Corps war veteran slash digital and forensic reporter, Chris Jones.
What the hell is that about?
Inside, our actors are preparing to overcome obstacle four. Now this footage comes from the New Yorker's veteran war correspondent, Luke Mogelson. Yeah, it's just slap and tickle all over again.
What is happening?
His data gets it all. Hey, it's Lieutenant Trapper and Carl doing nothing. At the same time, notice this cop pops through the tarp to ask Ranger for the knife that's lying here so he can cut it, which will allow for more people to enter and further expose the scaffolding to our photographers. Now, Ranger's gonna assist him in completing the task at hand. Such a beautifully coordinated insurrection. Oh, low-lying lumber.
I took my feet down.
Ooh. As Dominique Pizzola prepares for his dramatic role as Fall Guy 3. And now they're going to hold here on obstacle 4.
We're not stopping it now, goddammit. This is our house, motherfuckers.
Meanwhile, I'm...
There we go. Okay, so what is your time? Okay, so that says 59.39. All right, so what... It wasn't queued up. You just played what I wanted you to play, which was 57.49.
Oh, it doesn't.
I got
glasses.
No, it's. I was just making sure it wasn't on my end. I'm glad we figured it out. I'm glad we figured it out because, you know, I would want these things to go very smoothly. And then the next time code we have is 11026.
All right. Was there something in particular you wanted to say about that particular clip?
Well, it's a lot. I mean, it not only breaks down what we're about to see with our, because I believe that was one of the key moments was getting into that scaffolding, obstacle three, but the element with Ranger, the cop, this cop pops through the scaffolding to point to this knife that's lying on the ground, and Ranger is coordinating with this cop so that he can cut the scaffolding, and that so they can start to rip it open. Yeah, that's what I wanted to point out, or the cop's involvement in this.
All right, so now we're at 110.27. I couldn't get it to 26.
That's fine.
All right. So what do you want the audience to see and hear in this clip?
I believe what we're going to see here is this is obstacle six. We're going to see obstacle six. And I believe that's going to mirror what we're going to see on the east side with Hunter Allen Emke. It's just, like I said, Act Two is mostly the shenanigans, the fun and game, what I call the fun and games.
And with your background, you're really able to point out exactly what's happening here. And I love that you put a comedic effect in it, even more so than the first one. So
exactly.
Let me play this clip and we'll come back in a second.
Okay.
Oh, they're going yet?
Woo, saved by the bell, Jaden.
Look alive, Data.
There they go.
Hey, there's Doug Jensen. It was a big photo shoot in 6 minutes, which we'll see in Act 3 as Bike Cop runs alongside them. Here in Data's angle, we can see this conveniently placed lumber. Sneaky, sneaky. Back to Jaden. Like we're inclining to the top of Capitol Hill's latest roller coaster.
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to bomb.
Look at all those people. Notice this guy carrying a case of water. Hurry up, Jade. This footage ain't going to record itself. Now we've reached, yeah, you guessed it, obstacle six, where Carl is just not having it. He's like, bitch, please.
Now what am I gonna have for dinner?
Back to the east side, where this, what looks to be three toddlers in a trench coat and a photog creep into the scene to shoot Hunter Allen Emke. And with just a single kick, remember in Act One when we hypothesized that some of the windows have been switched out with Hollywood glass? And a real cop tackles him to the ground, and with the help of his real cop friends, arrest and detain him. But these guys aren't real. And now they're off. They just waddle away. Yeah, I'm talking to you. While this real cop removes the remaining glass to let our K-friends in. And you would be correct. And now they've let the kid go. Yeah, it gives new meaning to walk of shame.
Good job.
Good
so,
job.
Yeah,
for
I
you.
Mean, as you can see, just in... That sequence was less than 2 minutes. We have lumber. The lumber's conveniently placed out, which they're going to use. That's the first thing that they used on the Northwest doors with Dominic Pizzola and Red, with Brendan Guttenschwager and Data / Sparrow / Young Kim filming them. They're always at these types of events. So I'm always a big fan of origins. I'm always a fan of how did this shit show begin? And we're going to see from its inception, from its birth to, well, that time code is right at the end because Act Two stops right before they penetrate those Northwest doors, Northwest windows, and go inside the Capitol. And it's still an hour and 18 minutes long. The director's cut is 2 hours long. So just in
Act
that 2 minutes, we
see people inside the Capitol.
We're going inside, yeah. And in there, it's because now the Trump supporters are coming to the set. And now we're going to move. We can't stay down here forever, you know, down in the courtyard. So not only does this group of people, everybody moves. Everybody goes into their different photo shoots. And there are so many inside the Capitol, even with our, you know, famous politicians as well, whom I believe they all know that this is happening outside. I believe they all know. They all have that look on their face. Kind of like Bush's, the face Bush made when Andrew Card told him that the was it Flight 75 just hit the North Tower? You just know he knew.
Yeah, and well, he gave it a smirk.
Right, and that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing this body language with all of them. All of them, if they're in the House or the Senate, they know exactly what's going on.
We're
just going to be counting these elections the same freaking day that this rally's going on. And then if somebody could text me or let me know the impetus in any movie or any story, there needs to be a reason why we're going to the Capitol. Yes, Trump says, let's go to the Capitol, make your voices heard. What the hell does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, he said peacefully and patriotically, which was
what?
Very well thought out. Yeah.
Do what? We also said it's going to be wild. Do what? And what world are we living in that you just show up to the outskirts of the Capitol and say, I don't like what happened here? You think something's going to happen? You think something's going to change? That part, that motivation to get the people to the Capitol never really made sense to me.
Oh, but you also are informed enough to know that they don't work for us.
No, I know that they don't work for us, which I'm just like, on what level does anyone believe that, you know what I mean?
No, I know exactly.
At least make it make sense. Like, hey, we have this petition and it's a giant piece of stone and we need each person to go and sign this petition, but we need you to chisel it. We can't move it here to the Ellipse. You need to go to the Capitol so you can, you know, does that make sense to me?
Or what would have made sense is actually have an insurrection, walk in there and take them all out and hold tribunals. That would be another purpose.
Well, how would you do that when no one has a weapon on them? No one has nothing on them.
Right. So that's what I mean. It was not an insurrection. Exactly. An insurrection would be no one going there to do this. That would be the purpose.
No one spray painted anything. No one pissed on the carpet. No one did nothing. What they did was they sat there and chant the same damn thing for 4.5 hours. I mean, that's how you know who's who. It's so easy. It's their terrible acting. People don't talk this way. Even in some of the indictments, or I'll see the quotes. I'm like, people do not talk this way. What world are y'all living in? Y'all have been on the Twitters too much. This is not how people talk.
You got that right.
This is not how people act, especially if the camera's on. Oh, they want to make sure they get their 15 minutes of fame. Yeah, okay.
Well, and it has to be part of the narrative, and that's why they have their lines scripted, right? And I love how you pointed out how
the exact
they have
same
the guy
thing.
Holding up the Bible. They put the Hicks in the front. They put their...
It's the exact same thing as the BLM protest. It's identical. Just change the color of their skins and what they're protesting. But it's the same freaking thing. There is no difference. None. So we got to see there, we got to see, and there's to see it all around us, unfortunately. Okay, I want to take that back. We're seeing evidence of deceit. I apologize for what I said. There's not deceit all around us. If we look for the evidence of the deceit, we'll believe that everything is deceitful and we won't trust, you know, our brothers and sisters. I'm not necessarily advocating that you trust for these famous politicians. I don't trust any of them. None of them. That's like, hey, trust this guy named Judas. Even though I believe Yeshua knew the entire time it was going to be Judas.
Of course he did.
Yes.
Of course he did. Well, so, Rafa, how can people support you? I'm going to put the link to this entire one in the description box, by the way, or for Act 2. Really encourage you to watch it. Hour and 15 geez. Minutes, hour 18 minutes, something like that. Yeah. It's entertaining. It's informative. And you really will understand. And even for me, the breakdown that Wooz News puts into these things is helping me to spot things as they come up on the news now. I know what to look for more because his background and stuff is really helping. So I encourage every one of you to do this. And yes, there is a little bit of a language warning. So if you have young ones and stuff like that, of course.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
But hey, listen, I have an audience that I just want to say that to. But
fair enough.
And where can they find your channel as well? You're on BitChute, right?
Well, I'd say YouTube, but they just banned our channel last week. I'm still getting over that. So if there's any lawyers out there, I don't know if this is a real thing. Some people have said like, well, if you contact a lawyer, maybe they can help you get your channel back. I would like to think that's a real thing. So I'm putting that out there into the ether and into the collective consciousness. If you know how to get my channel back, please help me. But we're on BitChute, we're on Rumble. What's that?
And me. I've been kicked off 13 times.
Hey, if we can figure out how to get your channel back as well, you just have to ask, Jeff. Ask and you shall receive. We're on BitChute, Rumble, Odyssey. We have a Telegram channel and a Telegram group, Woo's News. You know, everything's Woo's News. You should be able to find it. I'm in the process of creating a website, so I don't have to depend on anyone like YouTube to host my content. I can just do it myself. That way you can, like, go and find t-shirts that I make on there, or go and find a video or something. I mean, I'm not new to doing Woo's News, but as far as being out of the closet as Rafa and showing my face and doing all these interviews and, you know, learning how to work Instagram and Twitter, I'm like, just give me the crime scene photos and I'll knock it out of the park. You know, I'll edit you a masterpiece. Learning how to do Twitter, oh man, learning how to do the effects on TikTok or something. I just cringe. There's some things that make me cringe, and that's one of them. Adult stuff makes me cringe too. I don't know why. I'm still a child at heart. Like bills. When I see bills, I'm like, ugh, let's just put this in this drawer. Maybe I just go away. I mean, I always get back to it.
So how can people support you? Because I happen to know that you've sacrificed a lot over the last two and a half years doing this.
Like my legs. I would say that's the biggest one on my legs. I have a Venmo and a Cash App and a PayPal, and I believe the Zelle and the PayPal is woosnews@protonmail.com. And I believe, my phone's being recorded, so I can't check. It's on Woo's News. I believe Cash App is $ Woo's News and Venmo is at Woo's News. And then I have a GiveSendGo, which is www.givesendgo.com/Woo's News.
And for those of you listening, just to be sure, Woo's News is spelt W-O-O-Z News. Woo's News. Hey, can you show Woo's?
Yeah, sure.
If you all wonder where the name came from.
Wake him up from his slumber.
You got to meet Woo's.
Hey, Woo's.
There yeah. is Woo's News.
I just woke him up. Woozy. Who's that? Look. Who's that, Woozy? This, I spent a lot of time. Okay, I don't want to proclaim that to the universe as well. I have spent quite a bit of my life in this chair working on this. I'm really trying to go be in nature next week. I really want to make this happen. I always promised myself I'd go up to the mountains. This is like a promise I made years ago. I said, when I finish Act Two, I'm going to go to the mountains. So and I can feel a part of me. I can feel a part of me being like the fear coming on. Well, like, do you really want to go spend your money on being in nature when you can, you know, pay your rent? And part of me is, that's kind of one thing that brother is helping me with, is the fear. Like, just the moment it comes to mind, zap it out, because you don't know. Like I got a check in the mail for $1,000 from a Woo's fan, and you know, you never know how it goes. You never know who you'll meet on the trip. And so he's such a warrior, and I want to learn to be more like him. So chances are I'll probably go on this trip. I know that they really want me to, and I really want to, so probably just
you
go
know
for
what?
A week.
I've taken
do some
about
camping.
I've done it a few times this summer, and you know, you can't afford the time. Sometimes you can't spend the money, but you can't replace that time, and especially the being alone in the woods in particular has been great for me. I do a couple sabbaticals. I'm going to probably do one in October.
Lovely.
So I highly recommend it. Just do it.
Where in the U.S. are you?
I'm just outside of Toronto, Canada.
Oh, right. Yeah, you mentioned that yesterday.
Yeah.
So I speak with a lot of people every day, and they tell me where they're from, and would love to meet someone who's from Los Angeles. I met Sam.
Oh, I'm from Los Angeles. There you go.
I know you told me yesterday that you're from Los Angeles. Just somebody who was here now, it'd be nice to have a friend in the flesh. I always say that to brother. I'm like, when are you going to materialize for me? Because he materialized for so many people after he passed or after he ascended.
Well, you know, sometimes, Rafa, you gotta get out of the house to actually meet someone.
I know. I feel like I'm learning how to live again, because I literally, this is what I would, I'd wake up and I'd come here and I would edit. And now that I'm done editing, and I'm like, I should be editing act three, because it's been over a month that I finished act two. And the people, it's this strange thing, like, you need money, you need to keep this apartment, and I don't want to move back home, but I want to go to the mountains, but I need to get this video out to the people. And this is not normal, Rafa. This has just been going on maybe the last 2 weeks. So you're just catching me at this kind of
can I just give
frenzy.
You one more little piece of little nugget?
Just
go to the mountains and figure it out.
Yeah. Okay.
Go to the mountains and figure
it out. It's settled. We're gonna. I have my to-do list to do today, but we're gonna start adding the mountains in there.
Yeah, get it
done,
man.
They want me to go, so I mean, I want to go too. So I'm gonna go, and who knows? You know, I could get another check in the mail tomorrow, and it would just solidify this. So, how much time do we have?
Well, I try to keep it under an hour. We're about an hour and 12 minutes now.
So we, you know, I know you said you were going to show the donation page, which is, that's just going to help me. Ideally, the donation page, the Give, Send, Go page, was to help me with the past due rent that I owe here and where I live, and then the future rent, and then also to get a new computer. As you can see, just trying to figure out where a time code was, the thing froze twice.
So Give, Send, Go, Woo's News.
But something else, yes, / Woo's News. Something else I wanted to add here, and just, I know we're pressed for time, so if there are any remote viewers out there, I've done this with every interview I've been on. I would be remiss if I didn't do it with this one. If you are a remote viewer, here's your target. Can you read that? 0805.
Bring it to the center of this. There you go. There now it's clear.
0805-2367. That's your target.
And what is there?
Inside are instructions.
Okay.
You can learn a lot about, they made a movie about the remote viewers called The Men Who Stare at Goats, but I first learned about this reading through these CIA documents, these CIA declassified documents about, I believe it was during Reagan's administration, they hired Stargate. These psychic spies. Stargate. Yeah, it's the Stargate program. Okay, so you know about this a little bit. I'm just so fascinated by people who do that, or people who, even people who can use a divination tool to find water. I have this really great forensics book on the various ways that people solved crimes. This is like my number one thing. When you had spirit and you had a crime scene in there and an injustice becomes, when there's light shined on this injustice, that's like a happy cloud moment for me. Because I will say that I've been working on a case before I started Capital Project, and that is, there's a young filmmaker named David Crowley who is making a feature film about our impending American doom, he had a trailer called Gray State. And in this trailer showcased, you know, the coming of martial law, the lockdown. Oh, Gray State.
I remember seeing that trailer. Yeah, now I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So David Crowley made this trailer, and he and his family were about to leave for Hollywood to make, because he had an active movie deal to turn this trailer into a feature film. And on Christmas Day, well, we don't know which day they died. I believe it was Christmas, but on January 17th, 2015, his five-year-old daughter's body, his wife's body, and his body were found in their living room. And by the end of the night, the Apple Valley Police Department claimed that it was a homicide-suicide. And a lot of people around David that were part of making this film, and these are We Are Change people and InfoWars people, were saying the same thing the cops were saying. This is not a conspiracy. David really did this. This project just got to him, and he snapped. And he did this to his family. But like I said, I have an eye for not only a crime scene, but for body language. And so for a lot of these people that are claiming that David did this, I'm already scratching my head. I was already scratching my head because you know, David's head is missing from the crime scene, and Kamel's head is missing from the crime scene, and both of Kamel's hands are missing from the crime scene, and their five-year-old daughter, Rania's entire right arm is missing from the crime scene. And David's right hand, you know, the gun, the hand that he supposedly shot, the Springfield gun that he supposedly shot his family and himself with, is missing. And that gun is lying on his left side. And the crime scene looks, it's probably the most bizarre crime scene I've ever seen in my life. And I won't get into all the logistics. Please do email me at woosnews@protonmail.com. There's a reason why I'm bringing this up, not so you guys can shudder at the thought of this, but because this is the project, this is the documentary I'm going to be working on after I complete Act 3. And not a whole new, there's quite an investigation that went on, and I mean from people like me. There was a team of people that have been breaking this case down since it happened. They have an active page on YouTube. It's called A Gray Stage. You can also find them on Facebook. It's Justice for David Crowley and Family. I believe it has 11,000 subscribers. It's a page. And they share information all the time. But unfortunately, not any new information has come to light. And so during this time, I'm requesting not only lawyers, but I would like to request those LEOs, people who have crime scene investigative work, those in the forensics world. Y'all know who I'm talking about. If you're a psychic spy, you know, I just got an email while we were on here about a remote viewer. So curious to see what they have to say. With this case, I'm pulling all the stops. You know, I may have to go to Apple Valley, Minnesota myself and put my feet on the ground and see, because this case haunts me. And David was somebody, I mean, we have a lot in common. You know, he's kind of like my impetus, my muse, but he was the one, he was wearing the same shirt, but it was a 9/11 shirt.
Right.
He was doing Woo's News, but as the Gray State. And you know, his was a drama, action drama. Mine's a comedy series, you know, but he's still a truth teller. But he knew what he was up against. And I believe that there are just some people in this world that were touched by, and you know, not only him and his talents, but his love for his daughter and his wife. I mean, you could see that every time he spoke. And that's why I just get so angry when people say he did this.
I thank God for people like you who will continue to press into stuff like this. This is really important, you know.
Yeah. Because if something were to happen, to me, you know, if something were to happen to me, I'd want somebody to be there to get the story straight, especially being accused
of killing your family and then taking your own life. You know, that's the history is being written by the wrong people.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you don't want that to be legacy, certainly.
I feel like this is a part of the reason why I came back to Terra Firma, was to do exactly what I'm doing right now. I mean, they said so. I go back and forth with that. I'd rather be on a movie set. Well, that's not true. I would like to be on a movie set, you know, directing my own movie. That's the dream, right? But I'm also happy to be, you know, knee deep in paperwork, sifting through a crime scene. You know, January 6th is a little different because
it's come together. And by the way, we're gonna pray.
So please send me prayers.
I don't do remote viewing, but you know, I've always felt that the Holy Spirit is an unfair advantage over the world and even those that remote view. And a lot of the time when we pray, our prayers are answered. So
yes, please.
We're gonna pray that some of the pieces fall together and you can put it together in a complete package and expose.
Thank you. Yes, that's where I'll be here. I mean, other than in the mountains, I'll be here completing Act 3. And then we'll see how. I need to know some logistics as far as how to navigate the David Crowley story, because I don't want to just do another documentary with what we have. I want to actually go there and do something about this. That I don't particularly know what it is. I don't know what my rights are as an American citizen when it comes to this. I know that these are all the documents I have on the case. I mean, this is just a small part of it, but throughout all the FOIA requests, there are things that we didn't receive, and I would like to get my eyes on those and start interviewing some people. You know, be a real detective dog for once.
Yeah. Well, and that takes logistics. You have to be able to get up there. It takes, you know, it's a lot of stuff. So listen, if you appreciate his work, I'd strongly suggest you, if you're able to certainly give him some support and help him get to the bottom of that. We need talent like this in our circles, folks. We need it, and we need to work together.
Yep.
Hey, God bless you,
brother.
Rafa.
Hey, thanks, brother.
And I definitely want to have the second show with you, though. And
let's do it. You tell me when. It's going in the calendar.
Right on, right on, right on. Hey, Dan, thank you most of all for being here to the Right On Radio audience. God bless each and every one of you. And remember, love your God, love your family, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And make a difference in
your
community.
I love that.
Right On Radio.
Right On Radio.